would, go ahead and just keep your songbooks handy this evening. We're going to need those over the next few minutes. Also, if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. That's where we begin our study tonight, is Genesis chapter 3. Last year in the adult class, we started studying the life of Christ. And over the past year in the adult class, we had gone through the life of Christ from his birth to his death and resurrection. I think this quarter in the children's class, they are finishing up his death. So what I thought about this evening is take a few minutes. We're going to look at the whole life of Christ. And what I did was say, okay, what are some songs that I like singing that I associate with the life of Christ? From his death, his teachings, on to his death, burial, resurrection. So I started working through that. This is more difficult than I thought it was going to be. Because at first you start and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to start with the prophecies. And then you create a whole lesson on the prophecies of Christ. And then the birth of Christ. Well, there's a bunch of songs on the birth of Christ. His teachings. That's a whole other lesson in many lessons. But what about the establishing of the church? There's many places you can go with the establishing of the church. What about him doing the will of his Father? Well, that's another set of lessons. Okay, I'm going to focus on his death and resurrection. Well, that's another part of it. So there's many avenues we could look at, and each one could take a series of nights, or as we know, it took a whole year to kind of go through the Gospels and look at the whole life of Christ. So tonight, what my goal was to be just kind of all-inclusive. Look at it from the beginning, where we first start hearing about that prophecy of Christ, all the way through Jesus' life, to his death, burial, and resurrection, and his last time here on earth with the apostles. So if you would, begin in Genesis chapter 3, we'll begin in verses 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. We've probably heard that before. That's the beginning right there where man had made the decision to not obey God, and at that point in time were separated from God from the sin. And it's right there in that verse where it says, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, that we see the foretelling of Christ. And of course, I've got notes in my Bible, and I've got notes down here that are probably going to sound very familiar to some in here. It says, the rest of the Bible is written telling about the man in the fog or the distance that is Jesus. So if that sounds familiar, that's for a reason. Those were notes taken during class. But that's what the rest of the Bible is about. It's telling about the coming of Christ. Now let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 7. Look at it real quick in another prophecy about the coming of Christ, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 10. Verses 10 through 16. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing that you weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. Another prophecy of the coming of Christ. And we read here about Emmanuel, God with us. This is the time that I think think I have written down my Bible, is about 700 B.C. So about 700 years before the coming of Christ, it's talking about the birth of this virgin woman. Now, I've only been here for 37 years. And I know during my short life, the number of times I've heard prophecies that even in 37 years don't come true. The only ones I do know that came true were those when my mom proclaimed to be not a prophet or a daughter of a prophet, but knew that in the very near future I was going to get a spanking. Those came true. Other than that, most prophecies that I've heard in those short times, they typically don't come true. But this one, some 700 years later, went ahead and came true. So it was just more than a man-made guess. It was the Lord speaking through Isaiah. These were God's words. And then we can flip up and go ahead for time's sake, begin over in Matthew. Let's look at Matthew, beginning in chapter 1. We're going to start here in verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he had thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of man, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So that all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. We read here where Jesus was born. And we also read here that prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, where it is fulfilled. God is with us. His name was called Jesus. Our Savior was born. The prophecy was fulfilled. So now we're going to take a couple minutes. We're going to sing a couple songs about his birth. If you would, turn to 495. 495 in our songbooks. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him. Oftentimes they get associated with Christmas, and we tend not to sing them. But when you listen to the words of that song, I mean, joy to the world. Christ was born. God is with us. One of the verses as I was looking through it, you kind of think about it first, it's like, no thorns infest the ground. Well, I was walking through my yard today, and there's thorns. My dog comes in with thorns. Is he talking about Jesus is born, there's no more thorns in the grass? If we think back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, when he was telling Adam that the thorns would be in the ground and his ground would be cursed, Jesus has come and he has broke that curse. Looking back, imagine that time. Jesus was being born, many not really knowing or recognizing it. We look back now with the experience of the Bible and we can say, what a joyous time. But many, they didn't take advantage of that. So throughout the next few minutes, we're going to look at Jesus, his life, and the death and the resurrection. But before we do, we will go ahead and sing song number 46. Number 46, Hark the Herald Angels.
Hark the Herald Angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Filled in flesh the Godhead see, how the carnage deity pleased as men with men to dwell. Jesus our Emmanuel pleased as men with men to dwell. Jesus our Emmanuel. Hail the of peace, hail the Son of righteousness, light and life to all thee bring, risen with healing in his wings. Christ my highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, come desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home.
We just sang about peace on earth. God and sinners reconciled. When Jesus came, this gave us the opportunity for that seed to come so that sinful mankind could be joined back to God and no longer separated. Saying about veiled in flesh, the Godhead. Jesus in flesh was here on earth, part of the Godhead. And most importantly, he came so that no longer it's one chosen nation, but all nations of men everywhere can be saved under him. So as we look through the gospel and we see most of the account of Jesus' birth, we read through Matthew and Luke, we see it, and we see how the Savior came to earth. We look over in John chapter 1, and we see there at the beginning where Christ the Word, and Christ the Word became in flesh. So we see that also, that other example of the Word of God coming to earth. So now we have Christ here on earth. We have our Savior. We have our friend. We have our rock. And we have our shepherd. Jesus lived here only a short time. As I look now, he lived here less time on earth than I did. So kind of an underachiever. We see that he started teaching at the age of 12. Then he had only roughly 20 years to go out, get his apostles, set up the foundation for the church until he knew what he ultimately had to do, and that was to do the will of his Father and sacrifice his blood for our sins. So as we stick in Matthew, and that's kind of where we're going to stick as we look through the life of Christ, and we flip through the book of Matthew, we turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And we see there, and we begin, and it's a section we call the Beatitudes. And it's some of the key fundamentals that he teaches us as Christians is how we are to behave. So before we look at the Beatitudes, turn to 675 in your psalm books. The Blessed Life. As we sing this song, listen to the words of verses 2 through 5. And essentially, they're talking about the Beatitudes and how blessed each one of these conditions are that we'll see God. Blessed, blessed, blessed are we. God is blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. We are blessed, blessed, blessed are we. God is blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. We are blessed, blessed, blessed are we. God is blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. We are blessed, blessed, blessed are we. God is blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. We are blessed, blessed, blessed are we. God is blessed with mercy, comfort, and peace. We have humbly sought his name to confess, hungered and sought his righteousness. So as we read through or sang through those, and we can look right there in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek and gentle. And blessed are those that are persecuted. Now obviously we could do a whole sermon on these right here. But at the end of it, these aren't attributes of somebody that we think would be popular in the world today. But Jesus is teaching us these are the qualities that we have if ultimately we want what? It says those that have these qualities will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So that's what Jesus teaches from his very early beginning. And then if you look right on a little bit after that, you're in your Bible and you turn your page. Look there in Matthew chapter 7. I had it somewhere. Okay, no. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus also has a couple other important teachings. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus calls the believers the light of the earth. He says, let your light be seen by the men. Is it so that they can say, hey, look at the good works of Jeff, or look at the good works of Jimmy? No, but it's saying right here so they can glorify the Father. If you would, turn to number 453 in your songbooks. Sing this song, we need to think about, are we daily living our lives a light in the world? Are we taking the fundamental teachings that Jesus has here and applying them to our lives? 453. O Christian, do not hide your light, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. In Jesus' teachings. We got many more to go, so we'll have to push the fast forward button for the sake of time. But we know through all those that we go through, Jesus just kept walking around in groups of individuals and teaching these lessons, and pretty simple lessons. It's nothing that's difficult for us to understand. We just have to apply it and know that we're going to follow Jesus. We know from Jesus' time on earth that he called men to follow him and do his work, and those were referred to as apostles. Jesus chose 12 men to go into the lost sheep of Israel at this time and to preach to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And during this time, Jesus continues to call on the disciples. And Jesus called them to follow him. We're going over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 37. Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus not only was sitting here looking for those 12 apostles, but he was also walking around teaching, looking for people that were going to follow him. And he wasn't saying that that's kind of something you can do half-hearted. But nothing here on earth is more important than following Christ. He goes on to say that if you're willing to give up a life with Christ for anything, then you're going to lose your life eternally. So if you would, let's turn in our songbooks to 225. Away from the vein of the world. He's calling, and we must accept him as our Savior. It says down here in the last verse, "Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, make us hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all." Now we could go from here back to Ecclesiastes and spend a whole other day talking about, at the end of it all, what's the most important thing we do. Serve God and keep his commandments, to follow Jesus. That's all he's asking, is for us just to follow him. But you know what oftentimes happens to many people? Either they're embarrassed, they don't feel that they can live up to it, it's not cool, it's not popular. But he talks about, and we sing a song, I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord. And so if you would, go ahead and turn to number 273 in your songbook. Regardless of the thought on the earth right now or what men think or what trials and tribulations we may face, we ultimately have to be able to stand up when Jesus calls us and say that I'm not ashamed to own my Lord.
I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. Maintain the honors of his word, the glory of his cross. Firm as his throne, his promise stands, and he can well secure what I've committed to his hands till the decisive hour. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint me a
get that opportunity to call on Jesus. And what's our reward? Every time I sing the third verse of this song, it tells me what the reward is. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's place, and in the new Jerusalem appoint for me a place. Jesus is asking us to follow him, and if he does, he's going to take us in front of God, and he's going to have a home in heaven there for us. But you know, we talk about here on earth, it's more difficult than that to say. We think, man, if I was like one of the best apostles, I would never be ashamed to own my Lord. But there's an example of a story in the Bible we have of one of the strongest apostles. We talked about him a little bit this morning. When he had the opportunity, what did he do? He succumbed to the pressures of the men around him, and he denied Christ. Peter, there during a time when the world was where the Jews were looking to crucify Christ, was one of the strongest men by his side, but under the pressure, he denied him. Not once, not twice, or not three times. So imagine that one of us would have been there by Jesus' side as he was taken away. What would we have done? I like to say that, oh, I'd have stood by his side, but in reality, I think we have an example of what many of us would do. Just like we say, oh, Eve just wouldn't have eaten of the fruit. Well, I think we know what human nature will tend to do. We'd have probably denied Christ too. And every time we sin here on earth, we've denied Christ. So imagine that, just that night with Peter, our Savior God being led away and tried for sins he did not commit. That's what happens when we sin and when we turn our back from God. So we ask ourselves, will we be there to defend him? We'd like to say yes, but sometimes the answer is probably no. We need to know that he was our friend, and we'll be his friend too. Turn to 121 in your songbooks. So now we're getting to this time where Jesus come. He's done his teaching. He's established what he's hoping to establish here. The Jews are coming to persecute him. Those that were by his side are no longer there for him. And he's fixing to die on the cross for our sins. But first, he has to go through the trial. Are we going to stand there by his side, figuratively speaking, each and every time we stand here on earth? Or are we going to hold fast and be his friend? 121, I'll be a friend of Jesus. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend within the halls of Pilate. Without a friend, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be Said, Jesus is our friend. Would you recommend him to another friend? We oftentimes will say, hey, I'm having a get-together and somebody's coming over. I think you might enjoy hanging around with them. And how many times do we just tell our friends, hey, have you heard about Jesus? I think he's somebody that you might like to know about. And we've been that friend and shared Jesus with our other friends. He's brought our salvation. So now Jesus has been tried. The trial is over. Carried away and crucified. And there he's being hung on the cross. He's done his work. Now he's coming to do the will of his Father. So as we get towards the end and we look at his death on the cross, turn to 157 in your psalm books.
Savior, please, and in my sovereign die, would he
right there at the top. But it's still a little lesson I learned from the song leader today. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was bruised for our iniquities. If we look over to Isaiah chapter 53 and we continue that on, we'll read through the whole thing, verses 4 through 6. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own, and the Lord has laid him upon the iniquity of us all. This here was just not a random crucifixion that happened on any day, but rather it was that fulfillment of that prophecy of the one that was going to come and die on the cross for us. But he didn't just die. He arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He was the winner of death. Hallelujah. Christ arose. If you look over on number 174, Christ arose. We will sing the first three verses and then follow up with the chorus at the end. Christ arose. That wasn't just by happenstance, but that was the plan. He came to earth, he lived his life, he died, and was risen from the dead. And we can go back and we can look in Psalms chapter 16, the foretelling of the resurrection. We can look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, where he's talking to his disciples and he's talking about, there's a time coming, I'm fixing to die, but I'll be raised again in 3 days. Once again, prophesied about it before it happened. Jesus broke the bonds of death and rose from the grave. And as we finish out there in Matthew, it's his final time after he arose. He gathered together with his apostles and he gave them a command. And if you look over to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And we know also more familiar, this is over in Mark 16, but to stick with following along through Matthew, we'll read it here. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The gospel is now available for all. The plan is done. We can all have that hope of salvation through the gospel. The last song that we'll sing is 424, The Gospel is for All. Song we started out at the very beginning, joy to the world. All nations now have a hope of salvation. Now we, once we know this, should go into all the world teaching this. Jesus has come and completed his part. Have we completed ours? Have we committed to our heart to Jesus and ask him to make our heart pure and whole? Have we made the decision for Jesus to be our leader, to be our guider? We made the decision to follow Jesus. We know the love of Jesus. We just read the different stories in the passage and sang the songs, and we could sing many more songs about Jesus loving us. But we may say that it's a little difficult now in today's time, but I'll try again tomorrow. It's not going to get any easier tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't be any better suited for fully committing to Christ, so now's the time. Jesus came to earth and called us, and if we made that final decision, and we decided to follow Jesus. Tonight we spoke and sung some songs about the life of Jesus and the sin that separated from God and how he brought us back to God. The whole Bible is about the coming of our Savior. We know of Jesus' teaching and setting up his church here on earth. And we know that in the Great Commission he teaches, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. That's what we have to ask ourselves tonight. Are we saved or are we condemned? So if you would, go ahead and take out your songbooks and open the invitation song. Sometimes we act like we might not know if we're saved or not, but it's kind of like speeding. We know if we're speeding. You ever been driving along in your car and you crest the hill and you see a state trooper looking at you? What's your first thought? Am I speeding or am I not speeding? Because our heart sinks. We get a low feeling in our stomach. The good thing I think about getting a little bit older in life and having bills, I try not to speed. So usually when I look at the speedometer, everything's okay. I know that my condition's safe. But I can think of times when maybe I've gotten a little out of control and I look and, uh-oh, I was 10 over or 11 over, and I'm wondering, what's my condition? Well, let's not have that way with our eternal salvation. Let's not wait. We can't see past the hill and we can't see past the crest. Let's not wait and hope that we're at the hill now and on the other side is the judgment day and we get that sinking feeling. Let's make sure we know now the condition of our souls. If you're here tonight and you've not made the decision yet to follow Christ, you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, we take this time now to offer you that hope of baptism and the hope of salvation. If you've been here and you've been baptized or you've fallen away and don't feel that you've fully committed to being Jesus' friend here on earth and recommending to others and hope to start over and make a new beginning, we also offer that time now. If there's anything to be done or said, as we depart here this evening, please come forward as we stand.